According to Mr. Willie Bryson, you find it recorded in the Book of Medical Jurisprudence of Toxicology of Insanity, under the Insanity section. You see, it was back there that the prophet Hobekiah ascended as a servant of prophecy, lifted the veil of futurity, and looked down the stream of time and said, "Behold, he that sitteth upon a hot stove shall surely rise." Hobekiah 4, verse 16. Now you laugh about that. You find something hilarious in the fact that the crazy prophet Hobekiah said, "He that sitteth upon a hot stove shall surely rise." You don't think that prophecy is worth much. And you know what? You'd be right. But there are other prophecies out there that are much more serious than that. To these, we had better pay real attention. And I would like for us to make a comparison today between prophecies that are worth something, prophecies that actually come from the source of the one who knows about the future, who is God, and prophecies that simply aren't worth much. I want to inform you of the true nature of prophecy, talk to you about some specific prophets or prophecies so that you can make some comparisons for a moment, you know, between the two. Now, there's different kinds of prophecies you can look to. And if you research the topic, then you can go to the Prophecies of Nostradamus by Erica Cheatham, or look up some other source for the Prophecies of Nostradamus and find all kinds of different things that he'll tell you. You can just open up your newspaper and you can look at the horoscope. You can go over and eat at the Chinese restaurant, and afterwards, if you have a hankering, you can get one of those hard cookies that they sell, or don't sell you, they just give you one afterward, and you pop it open, look down in there, and it'll tell you all about yourself, or at least it'll claim to tell you something. But actually, those things are not of very much worth, because the kind of prophecies that they give are not the same kind as the prophecies in the Bible. More people would perhaps believe if they understood that the work of the Old Testament in prophesying and in preparing us for the reception of Jesus Christ and to tell us about the future of the events that are going to unfold or have unfolded on the surface of this earth, those prophecies are different in nature. They aren't like some of the Greek mythologies. They aren't like some of the fanciful stories and nonsensical things that are said today, whether it be by Hobekiah or whether it be said by Nostradamus or just any other fella out there. The prophecies are sensible. The prophecies are explanatory, that is, they actually give you an understanding of what has happened down through history and give you a preparation ability, that is, they allow you to get yourself ready for the judgment of God to come. So, I want to talk to you about prophecies, about the mysticism of man, the nature of prophecy, that kind of thing, and hopefully we can see the difference between the prophecies as they are examined. First off, let's examine man's prophecy and mysticism. Perhaps not all of you have seen a horoscope, but most of you probably have. They deliver prophetic advice, if you will. However, the things that they say are very general and not very informative. Things like, "You will achieve the most if you exert yourself today." Well, you know, who doesn't know that? They require only the basic common sense and require no miraculous ability or anything out of the ordinary, you know, in order for them to say it. Then there is this matter of a man who lived hundreds of years ago by the name of Nostradamus, and he's supposed to have predicted many things. The ancient Mayan culture was supposed to have predicted the great cataclysm of 2012 and things like that. And everything from the Kennedy assassinations to various world wars and everything, they think they can find it in different people's so-called prophecies. Those people's prophecies just simply aren't worth much. They don't really tell you anything. And they are just way too vague. They're not pinpointed to look toward anything. You cannot put them with any other works or prophecies or put them in a context so that they, you know, can be understood. But instead, the Bible prophecies are far different from that. And they are, on the other hand, very clear. What about Bible prophecy? The Bible contains many prophecies of different kinds by many writers over hundreds of years. Most commonly, the prophecies are concerning the Messiah, Jesus. Now, you can look this up for yourself, of course, and just find you a good study Bible. It'll point you to no telling how many different things said in the Old Testament. But concerning prophecy itself, God lays down the challenge to mere man, and he says, unaided by God, you just simply can't produce anything worthwhile. Unaided by God, what does he say? In Isaiah chapter 41, verses 21 through 23, he says, "You produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us things that shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, and that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together." Now this is the challenge of the Bible. And if the Bible says that the Messiah was supposed to come and to suffer in various ways, as described, for example, in Isaiah 53, then, you know, what is it that causes people to not believe? If God clearly predicts it's going to happen, and then it happens, what would keep you from believing the Bible? You see, a lot of them look at it and they say, well, it's kind of like these other people out here that have the gift of prophecy and, you know, who can really tell the truth. No, no, there's only one true source of God knowledge, and that is His inspired Scripture. And when you get the words of prophecy in the Bible, you have something you're not going to find anywhere else, nowhere else. And that's the challenge that is laid down in Isaiah 41, verses 21 and following. So what are the differences then between the biblical prophecies and the other prophecies I've mentioned, the horoscopes and all that? Well, first of all, observe that with man, sometimes they just get it wrong. None of the Bible prophecies are wrong. Why should a person ever get prophecy wrong? If it's inspired by God, then they should never get it wrong. One false prophecy would be all that's needed to demonstrate the falsity of the Bible, but man cannot find it. Biblical prophecy is not like, for example, Nostradamus' prophecies, you know, about the Kennedy assassinations and world wars and all that stuff. It's just a bunch of unrelated sayings that are very obscure. Bible prophecy gives the why and the wherefores, the background for the prophecies. This is all told in a single unified story, even though there were many writers over a long time span. Also in the Bible, prophecy concerning a unique event, the coming of the Messiah, is foretold, not something man is used to have happening. You know, that's a pretty singular event, the Messiah of the world coming, right? And when God talks about how that He's going to open up for the Gentiles and He's going to cause a new kind of covenant to be made with His people and describe the nature of it, and then later on the church actually arises with that kind of description and that kind of establishment upon this earth, this is the way of God. The mind of God is behind it. When God says in the book of Daniel, here are the kind of empires that are going to rise upon the face of this earth, and He describes for us then the empires that existed, beginning with the one in His day, and going on down through the Greeks and then the Romans, and then of course Jesus arrived in the day of the Romans, then this kind of thing is clearly understood to be true prophecy. And you only find that in the Bible. So, to wrap it up, we see that man's prophecy and mysticism is not convincing, not in the least. Bible prophecy portrays the true nature of what prophecy is all about. And the prophecies themselves are very much different than the ones that you read in the horoscope or in the fortune cookie or whatever. Now, the significance of this is that the opinions of people won't do for you to trust in them. And if they make up something and say, well, I have a message from God, well, you shouldn't believe that any more than you say that the preacher had a message laid on his heart. Well, how would you know that? How would he know that? What we know is given unto us in the inspired Scriptures. And if somebody thinks they can add to the words of that book, then they are sadly mistaken. You read there in Revelation, you see what it says. They simply cannot add to the words of prophecy. So you don't call that lady on TV who's going to give you all the answers. She doesn't have the answers. Also, if you want to find out in life exactly how you need to go, then don't pay any attention to that piece of stuff you got in the mail. And it says, well, you just put this prayer cloth under here and then the truth will come to you or something. No, you open up that Bible. You look at the true prophecies that are listed therein. You find what it is that is about Jesus Christ that God had prepared since before the foundation of this earth. And you'll see how great He is, and in all that preparation, how God had planned it, beginning with the works of Moses in Genesis through Deuteronomy and going all the way down through the prophets and the law. Everything that was written, everything that was said, it's all to prepare ourselves to the coming of Jesus Christ and then to receive Him for the salvation of our souls and getting ready for the great judgment of God to come. All of this proves the inspiration of the Scripture. And all of this directs us in life so that we can make wise decisions. Go and examine it for yourself. That's what He says in the book of Isaiah. Test it out. See if it's not true. And when you find out that this is indeed the truth of God, then you'll have something you can hang your hat on and say, well, I know who guides me in life. It is God through the Bible. You realize, don't you, that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6. You want to know what to do, you're going to have to go to the Scripture. There is nothing written like it. There is nothing that you think that you are receiving, which can even compare to what has already been said in it. I mean, what are you? Are you an apostle like those that received the inspired words in the first century? You say, well, they were mere men. True. But they received from Jesus Christ the promise Himself, I will guide you into all truth, John 16, verse 13. And the words that they spoke were with the Spirit of God to be the inspired words of God. Now, if you think you can produce things that are just as good, then that means you're an inspired person like the apostles, and you need to write a book for us like the Bible and show us how good it is. And if you cannot do that, then I say unto you, it's because you don't have a message from God any more than I do. The message I give to you is simply book, chapter, and verse. And if I give anything beyond that, then let me be accursed. Plain and simple. Now, I don't say that lightly. That is a very, very serious thing to say, but the Scripture says it. If though we or an angel from heaven bring unto you any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed, it says in Galatians 1. So I don't want to bring you anything other than just what the Bible says, the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the only way I know that I can do that is because the assurance that it gives me in the prophetic language of Scripture that Jesus Christ was planned by God, described in the words of the New Testament, especially in Matthew through John, delivered up unto the Father upon the third day, according to the prophecy of Scripture, that he should rise at that time, and that he should be then waiting for us on high to come and to be with him forever and ever, if we hear on the great judgment day those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let all of us prepare ourselves for the Lord in that way, and I'll thank you for listening today.